The following program offers general information, not legal advice, and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not reveal information in this public setting that you wish to keep confidential. Every person's legal situation is unique. You should contact your attorney or other professional advisors before taking any actions related to the subjects discussed in this program.
Are long-term care policies reinsured by any state?
The nursing home wants payment.
Am I protected in any way?
It's time to know your options.
I have a question for the VA benefit aide in attendance.
LifePoint Law presents Aging Options.
He got her to sign a document to change the will. What are you doing? He got her to sign that.
With elder law attorney and life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayach.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Anytime, Ray. You bet.
Health, housing, finance, and legal. Know your options. Now here's co-host Jerry Berg and life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayach.
The critical conversations that nobody wants, but everyone should think about having. Financial abuse of elders is growing, and the death rate from Alzheimer's disease is up by 55%. So what the heck do you do with those headlines? Those and other pieces of information coming up on today's edition of Aging Options. And welcome to Aging Options, folks. This is elder law attorney and life planner Rajiv Nagayach talking about all things aging. Are you aging? Perhaps maybe you're driving to the church or driving back from church. This is a new conversation in Bellingham. Someplace, I think, like any other place, everyone seems to be aging. And what are some of the issues that you worry about as you age when you look at the rest of your life? What do you hope to accomplish and what do you worry about? Those are all the things that we talk about on Aging Options. The lines are going to be open for you to call in. And in the studios today, we have a special guest, Phil George, the local elder law attorney. Welcome to Aging Options, Phil.
I appreciate that, Rajiv. Good to be here.
And our host, Dylan. Dylan, thank you for having us here in Bellingham.
Absolutely. And it's great to welcome a new program to the air here on KGMI and get to know you, Rajiv, and Phil, and hear about the things that you guys are doing. Just incredible stuff. And obviously, I'm 34 years old, so I haven't thought about most of these things yet. But it's probably a good thing for me to start thinking about these things now rather than 30 years from now.
Well, I had heard that people in Bellingham were aging differently. The aging process was much slower in Bellingham. In Seattle, it seems to be just going at accelerated pace. So we'll see. We'll see as to how many people are aging. Yeah.
So talk about how this works. Here we have this new show. You guys have been doing this in the Seattle area for a long time. By the way, 676-KGMI is the phone number, as it always is, for all of our shows here on KGMI.
That's right.
And people are welcome to call in and talk with Rajiv, maybe ask him some questions or share a story. 676-5464. But Rajiv, now that we have you in studio, here we are on the inaugural version of this show here on KGMI.
Right. Yep.
I think it's time for a little bit of introduction to get us started. Who are you? Who is your cohort here, Mr. Phil George? How did you guys get into all of this? And what are you all about?
Well, this is all about aging options, right? I think one of the questions that I get asked is aging really even an option? And yeah, aging may not be an option. Well, the option is not a good one. There is an option. You stop aging, and when that happens, that's not a good day.
Yeah.
But we hope to keep aging, but aging may not be an option, but how we age certainly is an option. So I'm an elder law attorney, right? I happen to go to law school, and I practice elder law. That's the area that we practice. Phil, you practice elder law as well. So how do you define elder law?
Well, elder law is a little bit different. It's quite a bit different than estate planning. It's a lot different than family law. When you're talking about elder law specifically, you're really looking at the entire discipline of, well, aging and what that means to you personally, what that means to your family. And it incorporates all sorts of different things that most attorneys just don't talk about.
Well, and when you think about it, right? I mean, if you're listening, and Dylan, you being 34, answer this question. If you were to go to a lawyer's office and say, I want to get some work done, you go to an estate planning attorney's office, what do you think the estate planning attorney would be doing for you?
Right now?
Right.
They wouldn't have much to do because I don't have much to work with.
That's right. Isn't that the assumption?
Well, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
This is actually rather timely because up until just this year, I wouldn't have had much of any. I just bought my first home.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
So here already, now that the wheels are turning, as you asked me this question, well, what does happen with my home? And hopefully what I could turn that home into over the years.
Right, right.
But, you know, I guess with any of us, we don't know how long the aging process is going to go for. You know, any day something could happen, heaven forbid.
Right.
And am I prepared for that?
Right. And again, you know, so let me put some words in your mouth. You're assuming that if you go down to a lawyer's office, the big things that you need to worry about, now that I own this home, I need to somehow protect it. And how do you want to protect it? Well, I need to have a will. I need to have a trust. I should sit down and put in my own handwriting. Who should inherit this asset at what point in time, Dylan? When you are?
Dead.
Dead. That's right. Right? Yeah. So that's the first thing people are thinking about when they go to a lawyer's office.
They think about when they're dead.
Exactly. When they're dead. Yeah. Second thing they'll think about is, you know, if I end up in a hospital setting, if I'm in a coma and I can't make my own decisions, who do I trust enough with giving them authority so they can make decisions on my behalf? Whether they're healthcare decisions, whether they're financial decisions, somebody should have the ability to manage my finances as healthcare. And for that, you'll prepare a document called power of attorney. And what happens with the power of attorney? When does it end? The moment you die. So another way of looking at a power of attorney is you are assigning the role of someone managing your affairs for you when you can no longer manage them until such time that you die. And the third big document that people will think about reactively when they're looking at lawyers is that, well, I need to kind of think about if I'm in a coma, do I want a feeding tube? How do I feel about artificial means of life support? And so for that, we'll prepare a document called a living will. So that's the sum and substance of what traditional estate planning is all about. Who gets what when I die? How do I die? Who's going to manage my stuff till I die? No wonder we have 70% of people over the age of 60 who have no estate planning. Because why? Because traditional estate planning in the minds of most people is about die and die and die. And so congratulations. Who the heck wants to worry about dying?
Yeah, talking about dying, talking about feeding tubes, and this all sounds very heavy, Rajiv.
Right. But when you look at us, now let me turn the question around a different way and ask our listeners. So if you are working, whether you're 35, whether you're 95, you got the rest of your life ahead of you, right? If you look at the rest of your life between now and the day that you shuffle the mortal coil, and you can somehow picture towards the latter part of your life, what are some of the things that you would like to accomplish towards the latter part of your life? First, we want to get to the latter part of life, but once we get there, let's say we are 60 and 70 and 80, what are the bigger concerns that you would have more so than who gets what when I die, how do I die, and who's going to manage my stuff till I die? And I promise you, if you think about it long and hard, and you look, you got this blank stare in front of me, right?
Yeah, that's overwhelming.
If you think about this long and hard, here's what most people say in retirement. If you're going to play the role of genie and you can grant me anything that I can accomplish, right?
Yeah.
Here are the three things that I want to have happen in life. When I grow old, hopefully I'll get to be growing old. I get to live long enough to see my children, grandchildren, and see life come through. But when I get there, the first thing that I want to make sure is I hope I never get to see the day that I'm alive, but I'm put into a nursing home. Hmm. The second thing that people will say is, I hope I never see the day that I'm still living, but my money has run out. Hmm. And the third thing most people will hope for, particularly in retirement, is I hope I never become a burden on my loved ones. Right? Now, you compare these two parallels that you have. You go to a lawyer's office, and they're talking about die planning. You after the documents are done, you go back home, and you're looking at the rest of your life and you're saying, I never want to be in a nursing home. I don't want to find myself dying broke. I don't want to become a burden on my loved ones. And when you compare the work that lawyers do compared to the real life goals that we have, these are two ships that are just passing each other in the ocean. They almost never connect. Hmm. That's where Aging Options enters.
You're trying to connect the two ships.
And here's the reason why I'm trying to connect the two ships. I mean, can you tell by my accent? You can at least see me. Some of the people on the radio, I bet you it won't be hard for people to maybe take a gander and guess. I likely wasn't born in Waco, Texas. Right? I mean, I was born in India. I'm your prototypical first-generation foreigner who jumps on the flying carpet, comes to America. Why? Because the streets of America are
Paved with gold.
Paved with gold. That's right. Now raise your hands if you buy into that story. And what a darn shame. I'll repeat this over and over again. What a darn shame that we, even my children who are born here, they will never understand the America that I know. What does it take to succeed in America? You play, you work hard, you play by the rules, and you persevere. No guarantees that you'll ever succeed. But the chances that you have a shot at success are the best here than they are anywhere in the world. That's my background, right? Mm-hmm. My wife is from Spokane, Washington. Through her, I meet my in-laws. My in-laws are were your quintessential middle-class Americans. My father-in-law worked for the U.S. Postal System. My mother-in-law was a nurse working in the hospital system. They were going to retire, jump in the RV, do the American highways and the byways. Mm-hmm. Well, the RV never left the house because my father-in-law, Bill, got diagnosed with Alzheimer's the last year of his work life. Vivian, my mother-in-law, she took it upon herself to make sure that her husband would never go to a nursing home. And for 6 or 7 years, she bashed her head against the wall till Bill gets to a point where he no longer is recognizing Vivian. And he starts wandering away from the house. Vivian then goes to the person of last resort, the doctor in this case, and says, you know, I need help. I can't do this anymore without help. And the doctor looks right back at her and says, Vivian, you're a nurse. You should know better than this. There is no answer to what Bill has. Bill belongs in a nursing home. Mm. So this is how he ends up in the nursing home. The first time, Dylan, that I ever met Bill was when he was already in the nursing home. And when I met him, it was a pretty awkward conversation. We had. I was working for Allstate Insurance Companies. I was not a lawyer at that time. So my wife and I had asked my wife to marry me. She said yes. I was just blown away, surprised, score, you know. So yeah. we went to Spokane to see her side of the family, stayed with her mom on a Friday, met her sisters, nieces, nephews on a Saturday. On Sunday on the way back, she says, I want to stop and say hi to my dad. Now, I knew by now Bill had Alzheimer's, didn't know what Alzheimer's really was all about, some illness of some sort. Knew he lived in a nursing home. And Dylan, I promise you, I didn't have a concept of a place, what a nursing home would be. Yeah. And we went to this nursing home. We spent two pretty awkward hours in this nursing home. Bill had lost his speech by the time we got there, but he looked at his daughter. He recognized her, and he bust out in the biggest of grins. Mm. And we spent 2 hours, and there we were trying to say goodbye. And there was Bill hanging on to Jamie, my wife, mm-hmm. thinking she was there to take him home. And she was just bawling.
Yeah.
And we were standing near this keypad, the door that has keypads where you can enter the key code to get out. And some worker notices this commotion, comes running over and taps Bill on the shoulder long enough to distract him so we could enter the key code, and we walked out. And for the first time in America, I walk away saying to myself, how does the richest country in the entire world take care of their old people when they can no longer care for themselves? That, because I see all four of my grandparents in India take their last breath sleeping on the same pillow they've always slept mm-hmm. on, invariably always surrounded by the loved ones. So we then looked for, we did a lot of work. And when you look at how Bill and Vivian had planned their retirement years, they had planned their retirement years like most Americans do. Let's have a house that is paid for by the time we retire. Let's have a few $100,000 in the bank. Surely between Social Security, Medicare, our house paid for, we should be taken care of, right? So they had their retirement plan all in place. They had visited financial planners. They had gone to the lawyers to do this die planning. They had doctors in place. All these people were there. And when he ends up in a nursing home, who do you look to and say, why didn't you help him get ready to have a better outing? Better outcome mm-hmm. on such and such a day. There's no one to blame. The doctor's done his job. The lawyer's done his job. The financial planner's done his job. No one wants to go ahead and take the heat of the blame.
Well, what would the better outcome look like then? Because Alzheimer's, I mean, when we're talking about that, is incredibly difficult,
right.
Scary, frustrating. I know too many people right now
right.
who are either dealing with it themselves
right.
or have a family member
right.
who are
absolutely.
Struggling through this.
Right.
And it's incredibly difficult. So what's the better option here?
Well, the first option, of course, is to recognize that—
Speaking about aging—
Right.
Options. What are they aging?
Yeah, exactly. The first option is to not head. So this headline that we have, if you go to agingoptions.com, by the way, each week we'll scour the internet and I'll come up with 3 to 4 stories that I think people ought to really be paying attention to, particularly if they're aging. And one of the stories comes out, this death rate from Alzheimer's disease up by 55%. This is not one single household. It's estimated that every household in America has been touched by Alzheimer's. And the normal path to dealing with Alzheimer's is we try and take care of somebody at home as long as we possibly can. And then at that point of time, when we can no longer do it, we end up looking to nursing homes. Once somebody ends up in a nursing home setting, we find Medicare is not going to cover any of those bills. Then we spend all our money down, and eventually we get on Medicaid. And by the time we get on Medicaid, for those people who become lucky, they'll say, go see a Phil George, an elder law attorney. And Phil George will help you cope with these expenses, hopefully get you on Medicaid, look at VA, some long-term care benefits that will cover these insane costs that will absolutely decimate your savings unless you know how to do it. So you'll go down to a lawyer despite the fact that you had all your legal documents in place. What is a better outcome? A better outcome is we ought to have looked at this issue and the possibility that it is very likely that in retirement we are going to deal with some years of incapacity, some months, some years of incapacity. And when that day comes, we don't want our children, our loved ones, to be caught like a deer in the headlights, mm-hmm. where we go down to the doctors and say, well, you know, what do I do with my mom? She's here. She's got Alzheimer's. Doc, what should I do? Our medical community will put people in a nursing home before you know it. The biggest fear most people have in retirement are people will take away control, put me in a nursing home. I'll run out of money and I'll become a burden, right? Can you name anyone in America that you know of who had Alzheimer's who never ends up in a nursing home? The most famous person,
Rich,
a president.
Rich, yeah.
A president.
Ronald Reagan.
There you go.
But he wasn't in a nursing home?
He never left his house.
But does he have enough money that his house could basically be turned into a care facility?
So that's what you're thinking. It's about money, right? Right. All right, so let's talk about money. Do you know another name called Casey Kasem? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Casey Kasem had an $80 million estate. He had Alzheimer's. He gets dragged from California through Oregon to die in Gig Harbor, Washington.
That's right.
If money was all that it took to keep people at home, there should be tons of people in America who should never end up in a nursing home. But we almost always find people with Alzheimer's in a nursing home.
With Casey Kasem, it was the whole dispute throughout his family, right? And custody and who was involved and who had the say-so, right? Because, as I'm sure you're going to say here, they didn't have a plan. They hadn't set these things ahead of time.
Because they hadn't even thought about these issues, right? I mean, Casey Kasem is the one who had sown the seeds that became the crop that the whole family ends up reaping at the end. Mm-hmm. He was the one who had named his wife of 33 years as the executor of the will and the trustee of the trust and named the daughter, Carrie Kasem, to be the healthcare power of attorney. Never told his wife that he was naming his daughter as the healthcare power of attorney. Never had a conversation with the family. And that's the first article that we have at agingoptions.com. Critical conversations no one wants, but everyone should have.
What if he was just trying to avoid that inevitable huge fight and meltdown then that would result because people want to do different things?
No, because nobody talked about this ahead of time. Here's the point that I'm making is this. You said, what is a better outcome? Here's the outcome that I would like to see. Coming from India, here's the outcome that I say to people. 1.2 billion people in India, 1.2 billion Indians will wake up today fully expecting to live their lives in their own home. And majority of those people will actually accomplish that. Not because Indians don't get Alzheimer's, not because Indians don't deal with dementia or they don't get stroke and become paralyzed and they need incapacity issues. They have all of those issues. But how you deal with the aging issue is vastly different. It doesn't take millions of dollars for people to say, I reject the ability to be able to stay at home, that I have to go somewhere else. There's no magic to a nursing home. There's no magic to an assisted living place. You've got people who are going to provide care. I think what you're saying is, why don't we look ahead, many years ahead, and say, if I get to a point that I can no longer manage my own affairs, I want to set into play a scheme so that the moment my child has to step up to the plate using that power of attorney, right? A powerful document, power of attorney, that I'm going to have my child work with the medical people who will help my child keep me at home instead of me going to a nursing home. And if I have to worry about money, because money is a big component to the whole thing,
yeah.
why don't we look at the Medicaid issue well ahead of time, 10 years, 15 years ahead of time, and do all the financial planning, do all the legal planning, so that when the day came that I needed to access Medicaid, I didn't have to wait 5 years or 10 years. I had everything taken care of ahead of time. So the goal really is planning. The goal really is anticipating. Here's the problem that I have. I think when you go down to financial planners and we go down to lawyers, we in America, this is my opinion, and certainly not to say that I'm right or wrong in this thing, but this is certainly my opinion and my experience, that we in America, from a professional's perspective, get people ready to die. We don't focus nearly as much on the living issue. Why? Because we have created over the years all these different options. It's almost like watching cable TV. Remember the days when they were, well, you're not old enough. You've always had cable TV in your life. So,
well, I grew up out on a farm, so we didn't have any cable TV.
You didn't have cable TV.
Put the antenna up and hopefully get some Canadian channels.
Right, and you have one or two channels, right? And so you could, it was easier. Yeah. Even though your choices were less, it was easier. Today, I go down to Netflix. I was doing that last night at home. I went to Netflix. All the kids have Netflix. I'd be damned if I watched anything on Netflix. I just surfaced the channels and what do I want to watch? There is, I think, a lot of commotion that is created because of all these options that we have. We create options like, well, when the time comes, you know, the hope is I'll be able to live my life in my own home, or at least as long as I can. And when I can no longer take care of my own needs, we'll figure something out. Figure what out? We just keep kicking the can. We'll figure something out. Well, what is the something that we'll figure out? Go to a doctor. A doctor will say, well, if you're not safe at home, you must surely belong in some institutional care setting.
And then you've already passed the opportunity.
You already passed the opportunity. And I say there's a lot that the third world can teach us about this issue. Hmm. How can 1.2 billion people in India live their lives without building a darn nursing home? Because there's no magic to a nursing home.
There aren't any nursing homes in India.
Now, in present-day India, there are.
Yeah.
But the India that I know, the India that I left in 1982, there were no nursing homes. I just came back from India after a six-day trip, and I went to six different households. Mm-hmm. And here's what I found. All my older relatives, Dylan, here's the thing. Most nearly everyone have lost their teeth. Mm-hmm. So that tells you a little bit about the dental care in rural India, right?
Yeah.
But none of my older people who had lost their teeth, none of them worry about, will somebody take away control? Will I be put into a nursing home? I'd much rather lose my teeth and have the peace of mind of saying I'll be able to live my life in my home without becoming a burden to my kids.
But that's not even the choice that we have. We can keep our teeth and plan.
That's the.
Am I right?
There you go.
With the help of somebody like Phil George or yourself.
That's the option.
So if you're thinking about aging, folks, if you're driving and this conversation connects with you, why don't you call us? Let's hear what your stories are.
676-KGMI, 676-5464. We do need to get news here in just a moment. This is the all-new Aging Options program here on KGMI. We're going until noon today. And again, you're welcome to call at 676-5464. Rajiv Nagayach in studio, as well as Phil George. Phil George operating the elder law office
of Johnson and Nagayach up here in Bellingham.
Right. So this is local stuff that we're talking about, and we'd love to hear from you this morning again. 676-KGMI, more coming up on Aging Options.
Hi, I'm Steve, co-host of In the Shop, Saturdays from 9 to 10 on KGMI 790. I own Panacea Automotive Repair. Did you know that the definition of Panacea is a remedy for all ills or difficulties, a cure-all? At Panacea, honesty is our priority. We won't sell you products you don't need or do repairs that aren't necessary. We understand the necessity of a good working relationship, so we take pride in giving our clients quality service. Panacea Auto Repair, service you can trust, on Britton Road behind Iron Man Movers or at PanaceaAuto.com.
The Linden Pioneer Museum is commemorating the Great War, World War I, and its profound effect on Whatcom County and the world with a new exhibit, Echoes from the Trenches, Whatcom County and the Great War. You can experience this amazing and unique exhibit with a special gala with me, Dylan Honkoop, on Friday, June 23rd from 6 to 10 p.m. Get tickets by phone, mail, or at the museum. Become a doughboy for the evening and immerse yourself in the history of this world-shattering event.
KGMI News Update.
I'm Mike Davis. Pope Francis has offered prayers for the victims of the London attacks during a traditional Sunday blessing following Mass that marked the Pentecost holiday. The Pope asked for prayers for the victims and their family members caught up in the attack in London Bridge Saturday, which left 7 dead and 50 more wounded. Authorities have said officers shot dead all 3 attackers. Salmonella has sickened at least 1 Whatcom County resident and 15 more in Washington State. It's part of a nationwide outbreak linked to baby chicks and ducklings. It's made nearly 400 people ill. If you want to pick up baby birds, you should wash your hands with soap and water immediately after. A group of Spokane men in their 20s has posted a Craigslist ad for a generic dad to grill burgers and hot dogs for a gathering set for Father's Day weekend. Qualifications include 18 years experience as a dad and 10 years grilling experience. KGMI Dependable Forecast, sunny and 62 today. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
I did it my way.
Now, back to Aging Options with life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayich.
And welcome back to Aging Options. This is elder law attorney and life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayich, along with Phil George.
That's right, another elder law attorney. I've been with Rajiv for a while now, and glad to be here in the radio show with you, Rajiv.
So are you thinking about, have you done your estate planning? Have you done some legal documents? What do you think you've accomplished? Do you have questions about whether you should have a will, whether you should have a trust? Is there a better way for you to approach the rest of your life planning rather than just the traditional estate planning documents? Give us a call, and we will be able to. If we don't have the answer, we'll get it for you. But I think we might be able to have some pointers for you. We would love to hear from you.
676-KGMI, the normal phone number that people are used to reach us here. 676-5464. We're in studio this morning. Dylan Honkoop here for the inaugural edition here, at least in Bellingham, of Aging Options. And it's great to have you gentlemen in the studio. You obviously know what you're doing, not only with elder law, but also here on the radio, and how to share your story. And this is all very fascinating to me. And at my age, I think most people probably my age haven't spent a ton of time thinking about these things.
Oh, absolutely not. I think at your time, you should not even be thinking about this stuff, right? At your age, you should be thinking about more in the area of financial issues as to, am I really setting myself up for being able to retire, not work all the way till 80 years of age, which, right, by the way, I think it will be 80. By the time I retire, I think Social Security will be 70. By the time you retire, Social Security will probably be 80. So,
actually, just to let you know, my generation is not expecting any Social Security at all.
could be the case.
Because any of us who look at the numbers say,
not too likely.
The math doesn't really work out on this. But that's another topic for a different time. I will say, though, even though for myself, maybe I shouldn't be thinking about this, I have had to be thinking about these kinds of things recently. Actually, within the last calendar year, in 2016, my wife lost her grandmother and grandfather.
Wow.
Or maybe it was the year before. Within about a year's time,
she lost both of them.
And so we've watched, thankfully, mostly from afar.
Right.
This all happened, and we've seen the good things,
right,
and we've seen the bad things,
right,
and the difficult things that have gone on. Thankfully, they did have some planning,
right, right,
because they had a will,
right.
They had named 2 of their sons as co-executors,
right,
of their estate. So there had been some groundwork done, but I think what was missing, and this is something that you touched on earlier, I think there were a lot of conversations that never happened.
Right, right. And look, I mean, the fact that you're even willing to acknowledge that you were there, yeah, even though you were there from a distance, you were there. Here's what that tells me. Aging is a family affair, Dylan. It doesn't matter how much a person says, I don't want to be a burden on somebody. Here's the reality. When a family member falls ill, everyone in that family is going to be dragged into the mess. The only question is to what extent and how well prepared are they, right? And what I find interesting is that the way that we go about planning our lives, we are going to get involved and we almost never are we properly ready to address the issue. End up going to the hospital. In the hospital, we'll start looking to the doctors to say, well, what should I do? You know, dad's not doing well. Mom's not doing too well. What should I do? We look to the medical community. Well, the medical community doesn't have much idea. This is not their mom or dad. This is your mom and dad. They should be looking to you.
And they worry about hearts and brains and joints and your pancreas and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They don't worry about your money and your will and all that stuff.
You got it. You got it. And so it should be the family, I think, that needs to be better prepared. Aging is a family affair. There's no doubt in my mind about the whole thing. And if you can get the family prepared, here are the goals that I set out for my clients. If you know how to do proper planning, you should minimize the chances of you ending up in a nursing home, Alzheimer's or not, stroke and incapacity or not. But you have to look at these issues 10 years ahead of time. I can show you what you need to do to be able to live your life in your own home all the way to the end. I mean, if people in 4/5 of the world can accomplish this stuff, surely we in the richest country in the world, we can accomplish something similar. I can show you as to what you need to do by way of planning so you don't become a burden on your loved ones. You can minimize the burdens at the very least. I can show you what you need to do to protect your assets. Traditional planning is a recipe for disaster for majority of people. And the reason why it's a recipe for disaster is this, that traditional planning really simply put is this. You know, when we plan for retirement years, we're thinking about going to a doctor for medical care, going to a financial planner for finances, going to a lawyer for legal planning. And we are making the assumption, well, the kids will figure this out. They're smart. We send them to school, college, and they're in good jobs. They'll figure it out. Figure what out?
Well, there's no connection between all of those different areas.
None. The doctor's not talking to the financial planner. Financial planner's done planning that the elder law attorney will say, oh, my God, why do you have a regular traditional retirement plan? I can't get you any of these long-term care benefits because you have to cash all these things out, and the tax costs would be too much. And the lawyers are doing the diet planning. The financial planners are not talking about the whole thing, right? So no one is talking to each other, yet the only person who is in the center is the client himself. And for that, you need to do something called life planning.
Which sounds to me like a comprehensive solution or holistic planning or, you know, some of these words that have become more and more popular. That's really, it's about tying all these areas together into, because really what ties it together, it is the future of one person.
Right, no doubt. So give us a call, 676-KGMI, 676-KGMI. What are you doing? What are you doing in your life to go ahead and plan? And I promise you, it's not that you haven't planned. I'm absolutely certain that you're doing a lot of planning. But what does that planning look like? Is that everything that you need to be doing? Is there something more you should be doing? Whether it is just in the legal area. Look, I'm not a financial planner or a doctor, so I will not give you medical advice. But from the medical area, I will give you advice about what you can and should be doing to approach healthcare from a preventative point of view. You should be approaching financial planning, not just from the perspective of how big a bank account can you have when you retire, but what assurance do you have that people you leave in charge will know how to use your money to give you a life which is in keeping with your expectations, not somebody else's expectations? That's a financial issue that people are not going to talk to you about. Let's talk about all that. Give us a call back. Give us a call at 676-KGMI. That's 676-5464. I think we have Eric on the line calling. So, Eric, welcome to Aging Options. You're the first caller. So you win something. Lots of applause from us. Thank you so much for the call. How can we help?
Well, first, it's good to talk to you. And I've listened to you on Cairo, too, and been to one of your seminars. It's very, very, very informative. But I have a question, not so much about the planning side of it, but another question.
Yes.
My father passed away a few months ago, and he left a will, and my sister and myself as co-executors and all that kind of stuff. So everything as far as that goes is good. But he had a safe deposit box that wasn't itemized or listed specifically in the will, so we can't access it unless we do something, and I'm not sure what. Do you guys know?
Yeah, I think, you know, any time that you have an asset, that is the bank that is saying that you cannot access the safety deposit box, right?
Correct.
And so what you're going to need is an order from the court. A court will be able to order that you need to go. You have the authority to be able to access the bank vault. Quite frankly, I think if you knew the banker, they could allow that. There's no magic to what the judge is going to end up doing. They're just being overly cautious as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And if they don't want to cooperate, call Phil and you know, through a probate process. So yours may be a mini probate process, an adjudicated probate, because there's only one little piece that we need to tie up. Go down to a judge, say, this is who dad was, these are the legal documents, these are the people who are the beneficiaries, and the only asset that we need to deal with is whatever is in the safety box. We need you to give us an order that we can serve to the bank so the bank can allow you to access the safety deposit box.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Eric. And if you want to just send us an email at agingoptions.com, at what is email at agingoptions.com, or sorry, radio at agingoptions.com. Give me your contact information and I will reach out to you here later this week and we can have a conversation in a little bit more depth about exactly what you'd need to do.
It's not a big deal. It's a pretty easy thing to take care of.
Okay, great. What was that email again?
It's radio at agingoptions.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Eric, thanks so much for the call. So appreciate it. Thank you. And I think we have Mr. Sidhu, who is on the line. Welcome to Aging Options, Satpal. How can we help?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yes, I caught on to your conversation. Just I'm in my car, and I stopped on the side to call you back. I am also so interested in your options and what you're talking about. I have a personal example. My mother-in-law, she's about close to 90 years, and she is at home. My father-in-law passed away a few years ago, and he was at home.
Right. And you know, Satpal, it sounds like you're from India. So, I mean, your name is Indian and you're from India and your accent tells you a way that you're not born in Waco, as I'm not born in Waco, right?
Yes.
You and I, from a cultural perspective, and it's interesting that four-fifths of the world lives with the capacity that aging is inherently a family affair.
Yes.
When did we decide that all of a sudden the government is the one that needs to take care of our mom and dad? When did we decide that the big corporations, the hospitals are the ones who need to have all the wisdom, when purely this should be a social responsibility and we as families should be taking care of each other?
I totally agree, and I think we are abandoning that more and more.
Right.
Because we politicize everything. I think the issue is it has nothing to do with politics. It's just simple planning.
Right.
And actually, America was there 50 years ago. We didn't have these issues 50, 70 years ago. And we, with a lot of money, I think we're not wise. We think money can solve everything.
Right. Right. And that's such a misnomer. It doesn't take a lot of money, but it takes knowing how to use the money to take care of things. Satpal, thank you so much for the call. I so appreciate you giving us a call. I hope you stay tuned and listen and call in from time to time.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
You bet. Ajon, you bet. Thank you. And that leaves a couple of lines open. You can call us at 676-5464. That's 676-5464 as we continue this conversation about aging.
You said something to Satpal there.
Yeah.
And by the way, Satpal is a Whatcom County councilman.
Oh, he is, really?
And so I've discussed politics with him many times on the program and elsewhere on my show on weekdays. You said something, though, at the end of the conversation there, Rajiv. You said age on.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Oh, age on. Yeah, that's one of those monikers we've come up with. Here's what I find. I think, you know, when you talk about – I used to take a poll when I do talks and stuff. Every now and then I'll take a poll and ask people, raise your hands if you want to live to be 120 years of age. Almost no hand goes up. Raise your hands if you want to live to be 100 years of age. Maybe one or two hands go up. Raise your hands if you want to live to be about at least 90 years of age. A few more hands go up. Raise your hands if you want to be about 80 years of age. Almost every hand goes up. Why would we not want to live 120 years? Hmm. You're right? I mean, that is my big thing.
Because you're worried that it's
because
going to be
you
an
worry
awful
that,
existence.
Yeah, it will be a pitiful existence. I don't want to go ahead and live that way. Hmm. Even though this is the only life that we are ever going to be blessed with, we don't go there. Why are we worried about things? What are the biggest worries? Look at all the research that comes out. The biggest worry people have in retirement are, I will grow old, not be able to take care of my own needs, and I'll be relegated to some care facility somewhere where I don't want to go. I'll probably run out of money. I don't have enough money. Who wants to live when you don't have any financial means to be independent, and I'll become a burden on other people. No, 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 Lord, take me before you make me a burden on somebody else.
Right.
If you can take away these three fears, let's do a plan. Let's look at your life ahead of time. What can you do so that you don't have to be told the only way that you can be taken care of is in a nursing home setting? The only way you can live is by running the risk of running out of money. Your biggest financial threat, we already know, is the long-term illness, which is not going to be covered by the Medicare system. That's the biggest financial threat. Why can't we address this issue 10 years, 15 years ahead of time? You take these fears away, all of a sudden you're a lot more confident about the future that you're headed to. And so when we do the planning for our clients, here's the last present that I will give them is the ability to greet us by saying age on. Age on just means I'm confident about where I'm headed to. I'm not fearful about the future.
I think, and I'm sure you would know way more about this, but this is mostly an assumption on my part because I'm very naive about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But even just that mindset,
right.
I would think makes a difference.
A huge difference.
Because worry and stress and fear about the future takes years off of your life. And if you know you're a point in your life where you probably only have a smaller number of years left, and you're taking years of those that small number
and that's
off
not
by
fun.
Why?
And that is not fun.
Why?
So give us a call. I mean, if this conversation resonates with you, why don't you give us a call? 676-5464. That's your normal number that you call at this station all the time. 676-KGMI. If you are aging, are you having any concerns? Are you watching your parents grow old and you don't know what you should be doing at this point in time? Maybe your parents have shut you out. They don't want to discuss this stuff. And you're sitting on the sidelines kind of wondering, where should I go with this? Maybe you're about to retire, don't know when to pull the trigger on retirement. Do you understand how these various programs, VA, Medicare, Medicaid, all these programs end up working together? Do you have questions about maybe your wills or trusts? Should you have one or the other? Give us a call. We can, I think, handle most questions of that sort. 676-KGMI.
Question for you. We started the program talking about Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And that is a growing problem, as you mentioned from the news headlines. And it's something I think that is, I don't know if the numbers bear this out, other than there's more death attributed to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a worsening problem.
It's a worsening problem.
And more and more families are dealing with this.
Right. Right.
As they deal with this, more and more people are starting to talk about this
too.
For many years, it wasn't talked about. Oh, they're old, they're losing it, they've lost their marbles. No, this is an actual medical condition,
right,
that comes with certain symptoms, things that do and don't happen. Another question in that vein that I'm thinking about is I'm seeing younger and younger people
right
showing signs of Alzheimer's,
right,
which maybe is due to better awareness of Alzheimer's and that they catch it early and realize this person,
right,
that's what's going on here. They can identify
right
that.
Right.
But when is it too late to start this kind of, is it, I mean, what if I you know, here I'm 34. What if at 50 I
right
show early onset Alzheimer's, which
right
I know people who have had that at that time in their life.
Right.
And suddenly I'm 52 exhibiting a lot of signs of Alzheimer's.
Right.
Is it too late?
Well, it's never too late. I think so. You know, that's the fatalistic attitude we have is that, look, if I get Alzheimer's, I'll just get it. What can I do about the whole thing? First of all, you need to understand there was a UCLA study that was done that got published about 3 years ago that definitively showed that 90% of the people that enrolled in this study, 90% of the people, by the way, all these people had dementia of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the study was, can we reverse dementia? Mm. Not can we slow it down, not can we arrest its growth, can we reverse dementia? 90% of the people in this study saw a reversal in dementia.
Wow.
The people who did not show any improvement were the ones who were so far gone mm-hmm that they just wait. The point of no return had already passed in their life. But most of the other people, they came back, they were able to reverse dementia. So when you say, what should people end up doing? Is it fatalistic for us to say that, look, if I get Alzheimer's, I'll get it. God will inflict me and that's mm-hmm I'll just have it. No, you can do a whole lot.
Right. I'm thinking about the planning, though, too, because once someone is dealing with Alzheimer's,
so let's talk
that
about
affects
plan
your mind
right
and it can alter people's personalities.
Right.
It can change everything about them.
Right.
And suddenly now that person has the burden of planning. The right. family may be looking to someone who right. is maybe saying different things than they've ever said.
Right.
How do you plan at that point?
I don't think it's going to be ever too late. But the planning you do, your options will be different the deeper you are into the issue. Mm-hmm. So at the last minute, somebody comes to us and says, you know, well, early onset. So we just have a client actually going in something very similar to what you're dealing with. Only this is cancer, not dementia. But this has been festering for many, many years, and now it's coming to an end. And it's towards the end the person comes and says, you know, I need to go ahead and do some plan. What can I end up doing? I listen to you on the radio and stuff. So the planning at this point in time, what are your goals? If you've been told you have early onset dementia, what are your goals at this point in time? I hope to be able to live my life in my own home without being shuffled somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't want to run out of money because I know this is going to be a very expensive journey. And I don't want to become a burden on my loved ones, the people who I love the most. I want to have them have the ability to stay independent. Those are your goals, right? Your loved ones, what are their goals? I want to see that Dylan gets to live as comfortable a life as is possible without the family getting financially decimated in the process or losing our sanity in the process. So the goals are somewhat similar in both ends of the whole thing. And our planning will start not by looking at law. Our planning will start by looking at housing. Where are you today? How fast is this thing going to come on? What is the next 3 months, 3 years, 5 years look like? And let's get you into a housing situation where you don't have to move from again and again. If we can keep you at home, what sort of care will we need? Immediately, it'll become a financial issue. Well, someone's got to pay for all of this. Can we look to the VA, the Medicare, the Medicaid, all of those programs and see how that's going to end up working? Then it'll become a legal issue because if I'm going to enable any of these programs, I can't just have a will that says when I die, I leave everything to my husband. When my husband dies, he's going to leave everything to me. It has to be when I die, I leave everything to a safe harbor trust for the benefit of my spouse. I have to have a power of attorney that just doesn't say figure it out. It says figure this out. This is what I want you to go ahead and figure out. So your planning is different. But if you had started planning 10 years ago, my planning would not be starting with housing. My planning would be saying, Dylan, so what are you doing today? Let's talk about your health. Right? You don't want to go to a nursing home. Understand this about nursing homes. No healthy person ever ends up in a nursing home.
I guess the reason I ask about early onset dementia right. or Alzheimer's or something right. like that is because, I mean, earlier we were talking about me. I'm 34 years old. Right. And you said, yeah, it's too early for you to be worrying about some of these things. But when is the right time?
I think it's too early for you to be worrying about losing your capacity and things that happen generally later in life. Mm-hmm. You are never too young to start planning the rest of your life because at 34, hopefully you've got another 60, 70 years of the rest of your life still ahead of you. When you're 70, you still have about 30, 40 years, 30, 20, 30 years of your life ahead of you. The question is not where are you? The question is what planning will you need to do at some point in time? You're at 34. I would be suggesting what you should be doing at this point in time is educating yourself about illnesses and diseases that catch up with people 30, 40, 50 years in your future, right? Alzheimer's doesn't start the day it's diagnosed. Alzheimer's has been festering for about 20, 25 years before you start showing signs, mm-hmm. 10, 15 years for sure, before it's going to start showing the signs. So My job in my planning would be to remind you that healthcare should not be just about seeing a doctor when you're ill. Healthcare should be approaching healthcare from a preventative point of view. And there are little things people don't understand they can do and how their insurance policies can be better used to give you preventative care. That's healthcare. I would talk to you a little bit about housing. At this point in time, I'd absolutely want to make sure that you are buying a house, not renting. I mean, today the kids are into renting, at least in the greater Seattle area. The more millennials and kids my kids' age, you know, that whole thing, they don't want to do anything with home ownership. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, you're crazy. Financially speaking, you'll wake up one day and say, I lost all these years. That's all that I'd say.
But a lot of us who are just, right. to give a bit of background, as a millennial, of us in that age group
right.
were in those formative years in high school,
right.
When the bottom dropped out of the housing market.
Exactly.
So to us,
right.
that left an impression, and we saw what our parents went through,
right.
and our families and other, you know, our neighbors went through, and we don't want to do that. So we're scared.
Yeah, but if you're going to buy a house with negative equity in it, you'd be dumb. I would be encouraging you to say, let's go buy a house, put 20% down, have some room for equity up there, have a savings of about 6 months. You should be able to pay a mortgage even if you were not able to have a paycheck. You should be buying. I mean, at some point in time, we should have that discussion. Your biggest financial opportunity, your planning opportunity, is finances. At 34, you should be looking, you should be very clear in your mind, I want to work up until this age, and I want to set myself up, whatever that age is. You know, it's different for different people. Some people would like to retire at 60, some people retire at 65, 70, whatever that age is. You need to set that goal up and know how are you going to financially afford that. And you would need to have some very basic legal planning in place. The planning that you are not even thinking about that you need to start thinking about is this. You're dealing with your parents at this point in time. I'm assuming your parents are still living, right? They probably have never come and talked to you about the roles that they're expecting you to play in their lives. You're not really thinking about what they're going to do. Yet the reality is this. If they fall ill, you will be drug into their lives no matter how much they didn't want you to be involved in their life in a burden way. And no matter how much you thought, oh, life is just going to go okay. And my job would be to plan you so that you know that if your parents are going to fall ill, something is going to happen. You have to step up. What should your role be at that point of time so you can help them give a good quality of life without you drowning in the weight of the whole thing? That is never discussed, right?
Yeah, that's scary.
That is never discussed.
I don't want to think about my parents dying.
You should be discussing about all that. Phil?
No, you're absolutely right. And it is. It's something that people that are younger just don't think about, you know, or really even have those conversations with their parents. And that's another one of those articles that we have on agingoptions.com today is, you know, just those uncomfortable conversations that people have with their parents. You know, what does it mean? Do you talk to your parents about their finances? Do you talk to them about their legal work? Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
You know, the whole hour has gone by. One of the things that I wanted to do was to invite our listeners to come to one of the seminars that we end up doing. If this conversation resonates with you, understand this is not a conversation you're going to find too many places, but we do public forums, and we do this education. And the reason why we do the education is because education is empowerment. So on the 20th of June, right here in Bellingham, we will be doing a seminar talking about a concept called life planning. Life planning is the rest of your life planning so that you can be confident about your future, not worry about running out of money, going to a nursing home, becoming a burden. It'll be at Spring Hill Suites, which I believe is 4040 Northwest Avenue in Bellingham. You can go to agingoptions.com and register for that seminar. I would strongly suggest that if you have any inclination, if any of this actually connects with you, go to the seminar, educate yourself.
And we're going to continue to have this show every week from 11 until noon with Rajiv on, Phil on, maybe some others as well, guests, and certainly your calls. And the number will always be 676-KGMI. So be prepared for more conversation about this. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning of the conversation here on KGMI. Rajiv, thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing you and Phil on the air in coming weeks and months.
Dylan, thanks for showing up on a Sunday. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your time, Dylan.
Age on, Bellingham.
You've been listening to Aging Options with elder law attorney and life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayach. Bring your questions, interact, and engage with Rajiv at Aging Options Live. For upcoming Aging Options Live events, visit agingoptions.com and call 877-76-AGING, 877-76-AGING. Listen to today's program and additional podcasts at agingoptions.com. Protect your assets and preserve your quality of life. Know your options. Visit agingoptions.com.